Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just gone 7 minutes past the hour of 9. You are listening to the social program on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Babat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company between now and 10 a.m. We do have Murana Ibrahim Baum, alhamdulillah, on the program, and he is joining us telephonically this morning from Johannesburg. Murana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
How are you doing, Murana?
Alhamdulillah, Allah shukr, Allah's fazl and grace. Allah has always been kind, more than what we deserve. And it's only Allah Ta'ala's grace that He deals with us kindly. It is not something that we deserve or we are entitled to.
Right, as we also head towards the end of the financial year also, it also gives us the opportunity to introspect and look at some of our dealings for the year and also prepare for the coming year in terms of our finances, Murana.
Yes, Moana, an important point, and of course we know that many a times money matters, wealth matters, are the root cause of many, many disputes and arguments. And I think today we just want to look at the importance of monetary dealings from the Shari point of view, and more importantly, given the theme of our program, and that is relationships and social matters, how does wealth and how does religious matters pertaining to wealth, how does it impact upon our relationships? And there is no doubt whatsoever, in many, many occasions, one of the root causes of difficulty and strained relationships is because of wealth. Either because we have not understood the importance of it, either we have not been able to be clear, either there have been usurping of rights, either there have been sometimes an aspect of not in reality, keeping things transparent and leaving it ambiguous. These are all aspects that the Sharia has addressed with the intention of keeping us away from disputes.
Mm-hmm. Inshallah, we'll be pursuing this topic in the coming few minutes, inshallah. For now, we catch up on a few commercials. When we return, we continue. We remind you of the SMS numbers, 48855, that's 48855. Alternatively, you could WhatsApp on the studio number, 0727861548, that's 0727861548. Or you could message Maulana Ibrahim Baum on his side, that's 0837862859. That's 0837862859. Maulana, perhaps we can start off with a few introductory remarks before we get into the meat of the discussion.
Yes, Maulana, I think we can start off by saying that there's a great importance with regard to financial matters in our Sharia. Many a times people look upon financial matters and wealthy matters or matters pertaining to wealth only to do with dunya. And firstly, this whole dichotomy between deen and dunya is not something that is a practice or it is something that Islam has advocated. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar and render unto God what is God is not an Islamic philosophy. That there are dichotomy between religion and state politics or with regard to wealth. Islam is such a religion that it covers every aspect. One of the remarkable aspects of, not that of course we need to be told or we need to be emphasized or we need to be reminded about it, but just for interest sake, Michael Hart, who wrote 100 Most Influential People in the World, he put Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the forefront and the most influential person in human history. And one of the reasons that he quotes in there was that the only person who I found to be supremely successful both in the spiritual, religious sense and the mundane worldly activities. So there was no dichotomy. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in the masjid, together with it, he was in the marketplaces. Mali hadha rasul ya'kulu ta'am wa yamshi fil aswaq. That the disbelievers used to object and say, what type of rasul is this? He eats food and he also walks in the marketplaces. Allah Ta'ala mentions it in such a way that it is not an object of criticism. It is a matter of honor. Hmm. The Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala walks in the marketplaces. He involves in trade. And he was also the commander of the army in the battlefield. So there is no dichotomy in these things in Islam. And it will come as a surprise maybe to some people that the longest verse in the Holy Quran, it is to do with financial dealings. Subhanallah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalin musamman faktubuh. Many a times give a lot of grey hair to many of the huffaz when they're reading that whole long ayat in Taraweeh. But it is the longest ayat. And what does it say? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, when you give money on loan, then faktubu, then write it down, have two witnesses with regard to it, subhanAllah. Someone will say the Quran, someone will say that this is a spiritual book, but look at the guidance it is giving. When you give money on loan, then write it down, record it, so that it does not lead to dispute. Afterwards, the person will say, no, I gave you 10,000, and the person will say, no, you gave me 9,000. Write it down, have two witnesses, so that it does not lead to disputes. This is the importance with regard to, and I normally also tell people that if you look at it, our understanding of religion, we all do hidayah in our curriculum. As part and parcel of becoming an alim, you do the jurisprudence book, the book on jurisprudence, on fiqh, known as hidayah. But hidayah, the aspects that we regard as deen, salat, zakat, hajj, and fasting, all of them are covered in one of the four volumes of hidayah. One volume covers all the ibadat. And then you find the three other volumes are pertaining to muamalat and other matters of deen, which tells you the importance. So these things are very important. It is part and parcel of our deen. And that is why Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, talabul halali faridatun. The acquiring of halal risk is not a dunyawi matter. It is not a matter of dunya. It is not a matter of this world. Talabul halali faridatun. The acquiring of halal risk is a religious obligation. But ba'd al-farida, after the primary religious obligation. Don't go and tell people that you are going to the shop because it is Allah's command and then you must salat. Because Allah Ta'ala says it is a religious obligation, ba'd al-farida, after the primary religious obligation like salat, etc.
SubhanAllah, the lines are open, 011-854-1548, that's 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you could also WhatsApp on 0727861548. Yes, Imam Muhammad rahimahullah was also asked a similar question, that why have you dedicated so much of your work to buyu, to transactions and muamalat, that is the dealings with people, as compared to ibadah, that is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, if your muamalat is not in order, then your ibadat is also not in order. That means if your dealings, if your monetary dealings are not in order, then your ibadah, the worship that you have, will also not be in order. For example, the hadith speaks of a person who comes in a disheveled condition and is stretching his hands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is making lengthy du'as and is crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept his du'as. But Allah says, how do I accept his du'as? How do I accept his ibadah? Whereas malbasuhu haram, wa mat'amuhu haram, wa mashrabuhu haram. His eating is from haram sources, his drinking is from haram sources, what he's wearing has also been acquired from haram sources. So it's an important point that Maulana makes, that our monetary dealings first need to be in order so that our ibadah can also be accepted. Maulana?
There's no doubt, and of course we also know from the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destroyed the nation in the past because of dishonesty in monetary dealings. And Allah ta'ala says, وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. Remember, towards the city of Madian, I sent the brother Shu'aib, and he told them, worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَنْقُصُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانَ. Do not weigh and measure less by mischief. And look at the response they gave. The response that, Maulana, many a times people in our situation also give. Look at the response. Ya Shu'aib, as-salatuka ta'muruka an natruka ma ya'budu aba'una aw an nafala fi amwalina ma nasha. O Shu'aib, does your salat teaches us that we must do with our wealth what we want to do? Does your wealth give that type of the stuff? And obviously that is something that is not correct at all.
Yes, indeed. So as we start off on this point, that our dealings as well as our religion, they both are intertwined, they are part of each other, we cannot separate one from the other. And that is why we find that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala would make it as a prerequisite that if you want to open up a business in Madinatul Munawwara, you need to first go through the formal process of learning the masail pertaining to trade so that you don't do down yourself or anyone else for that matter.
So, well, just a thought I wanted to bring up, that see, one, we can talk about the importance of monetary dealings, but it would be interesting to hear from listeners, has there been a lax attitude with regard to that, especially in terms of relationships? Has there been situations where money has been the cause of strained relationship between people? And if so, why? What are the reasons why monetary matters has been the cause of straining of family relationship? I think it will be interesting to find out from people so at least you have a situation of trying to address it.
Yes, indeed. And for that, the lines are open. You can interact with us on any of the platforms given earlier. Mona, perhaps we can now go into the meat of the discussion, Mona.
Yes, I think, Mona, the first thing that I would like to say is that if we look at the... Let us start off with this whole aspect of there is no dichotomy. Talabul halali faridatun ba'da al-farida. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, obviously we have to get the right balance. No one says that wealth is everything. And neither should we regard wealth as something that is not worthwhile. It is valuable. Ni'mal malu salih li rajul salih. Very good is that wealth which is in the hands of a pious person. He will utilize it correctly. And la ba'sa bil ghina liman ittaqillaha azza wa jal. There is nothing wrong with wealth for a person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to get that right. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, don't make the wealth everything. La tajali dunya akbar hammina wala mablagha ilmina wala ghayata raghbatina. O Allah, don't make this material world the reason for our existence, the be all and the end all of our objectives and desires, the reason why we gain knowledge. Unfortunately, people today, they gain knowledge as we had made mention on our program when we spoke about knowledge. Today, people equate knowledge with money. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought Allah's protection that I must gain knowledge for the sake of wealth. We do not gain knowledge to earn. We gain knowledge to serve. So that is a different matter. So on one hand, don't make the material world everything. But on the other hand, the material world becomes the source of all good. As I normally say, Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said, everything you gain in this world or in the year after, even up to Jannah, it is going to be acquired from this world. So even Jannah, you are going to acquire it from this world. Not outside this world. If you utilize the world and the time in this world correctly, you are going to gain Jannah. So this is an aspect. And dunya mazra'atul akhirah. Dunya is a sowing ground for the year after. What happens in the year after depends how you utilize your time in this world. So this world is not something to be regarded as rotten or something to be regarded as useless. No. So what is the right balance? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in a hadith in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, Ya ayyuhan nas halummu ila rabbikum fa innama qalla wa kafa khayrun mimma kathura wa alha. That, O people, hasten towards Almighty Allah. Remember many a times, that which is sufficient and it suffices is better than that which is kathura wa alha, which is in abundance but makes you neglectful of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So the question is, then, Marana, how do we lose the balance?
Well, I think the balance is lost because sometimes it is always a difficult thing. Jami' al-Tirmidhi hadith al-Iqtisad, juz'un min arba'atu wa ishreena juz'un min an-nubuwah. To have moderation is one portion of nubuwah. Now, that portion of nubuwah is not easy to get. And I think perhaps the right balance is do and acquire the more material things and link yourself to the dunya to the extent that is necessary and to the extent that does not take you away from Allah Ta'ala's commands. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tulhikum amwalukum wala awladukum an dhikrillah. O believers, do not allow this material world to divert you from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I think, Mulana, you have made some important points here, and it all boils down to mindset, that when we are going out, our mindset should be that we should understand that business and religion is one and the same thing, and secondly, we should understand that this world is here for us to accumulate whatever we need for the year after, and business also forms part of that accumulation, as yes. Mulana mentioned. We can move on to the third point then, Mulana.
Yes, I think, just to give you an example, sometimes don't make the material, the business, or the be-all and the end-all, and take it beyond Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is known that Gujaratis, Mehmans, people from the Indian subcontinent, they are very business-inclined. So they said that a person was on his dying bed, and he had three sons. One is named Muhammad, and one was named Ahmad, and one was Abdullah. So as he was very, very sick, so he said, Muhammad, where are you? Kache maru Muhammad. So Muhammad came. Then he said, Kache Ahmad, Ahmad Kache, Ahmad Yawo. Ahmad also came. Then he said, Abdullah, where is Abdullah? Abdullah also came. All the children said, maybe the father is dying. He's about to leave. He's going to give us some valuable advices. Or maybe before he's leaving, he's going to, maybe want to just have some time with his children. And after all three children were there, he got angry and he said, if everyone is here, who's in a shop then? So obviously that is also another point with regard to...
We've got a caller, Mulana. All right, let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Manana, I just want to say, with regards to dealings like this, when it comes to do with monetary dealings, there must be a certain amount of trust. You cannot, have a suspicion or doubt or mistrust with the person who's handling all the affairs, and without a proof or without, factual evidence that he is doing something wrong. And even if that person is doing wrong, Malana, we can only make dua and make the required effort to acknowledge that he's doing wrong. And if he doesn't acknowledge, then we leave the rest to Allah, because at the end of the day, we have to answer to Allah. That person has to answer to Allah also with regards to his wrongdoings, and we also ourselves have to answer to Allah with regards to whether we made an effort to right things or not.
Definitely.
So I think it's important that we have to put trust in all aspects of our lives, whether it be in business or whether it be in monetary dealing with family people, a certain amount of trust must be there.
Very, very important point. Inshallah, I will elaborate on that, inshallah.
Yes, the lines are open, 011-854-1548, alternatively 072-786-1548 or 083-786-2859. We are speaking to Mawlana Baum and we are speaking about money matters. Mawlana, early on, as you mentioned, that our money matters should not take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, you mentioned early on that money is the cause of many problems. Perhaps Mulana would like to elaborate on that point, Mulana.
Yes, Mulana, just taking on, I think one of the points that I would like to have elaborated was hinted at by the caller by saying that without trust, then actually everything happens. Now, that's one of the reasons why honesty in monetary matters has been so greatly emphasized, because monetary matters requires a degree of trust. There are many people who are in the business field know that sometimes they'll pick up the phone to the supplier and say, I need this urgently. And the supplier will say, okay, I'm sending it. Now, if there is a lack of trust, that particular type of relationship, that type of trading does not happen, because now all of a sudden there is no trust. But sometimes you need an item, you have to get it from the wholesaler. The wholesaler needs also to dispose of his items. Right? So he's waiting for the retailer to order. Now, what happens if that there is a good relationship where there has been payment on time, the good that have been supplied has been the one that have been ordered, then there is amanat, there is trust, and everything works well. But can you imagine that when there is no trust, now all of a sudden you need an item, you phone the person and said, you didn't pay me last time, I'm not going to send it. And or, for example, vice versa, the retailer gets an order from a client and a customer that he needs something, and all of a sudden he wants to order from this wholesaler. That last time I asked for this thing, he gave me something else. Now, if there is no trust, the entire monetary matters come to a standstill. That is the reason why dishonesty has been so greatly condemned by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it takes away trust from people. When people start lying, then people lose faith and hope and trust in one another. And this is a great tragedy. Today, because dishonesty has become widespread, what happens is people don't trust one another. Brother don't trust a brother. Why? Because dishonesty has become one. So if you are going to stay away from disputes in monetary matters, then there has to be amanadari, trust, and that trust is dependent upon transparency and honesty and integrity in money matters. I just had a person who came and see me recently, and the famous aspect of India, money coming in, and he was very, very upset over what I told him. What are you upset for? He said, no transparency. People have been telling us this is our share, but no one has told us how the share has been concluded or how it has been arrived at. Now, that just breeds mistrust. That breeds an aspect of tension in a family. Unnecessary. Why should you be hiding? Why should there be no transparency? Why should there be no honesty? Once there is no honesty, there is no trust. And once there is no trust, then of course it leads to strained relationship. That is why honesty and dishonesty it impacts upon our entire personality. Sometimes there are certain types of weakness that only impacts upon one aspect of your character. So therefore, Safwan bin Sulaym came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ayakun al-mu'minu jabbanan?" Ya Rasulullah, can a mu'min be a coward? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, not a good thing. But a human being, Muslim is a human being. Human beings have certain traits. Sometimes it can happen. Can I continue?
Jibran Rabbi, all means.
And ayakun al-mu'minu bakhilan? Can a mu'min be a miser? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, it is possible. It's not a good thing. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, As-sakhiyu qaribu min Allah wa qaribu min al-nas. A person who is a generous person is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, close to people. People love us, a generous person. A generous person, everyone will go with him to the restaurant also. Hopefully that maybe he'll pay. Al-bakhilu qariq, ba'idu min Allah wa ba'idu min al-nas. And a bakhil, and a miserly person, is far away from Allah, far away from people. People stay away from a person who is miserly. Right? So they won't just go out with him easily, because they say he's not going to dig his hand into his pocket. But yet, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, is it possible for a person, Muslim, to be a bakhil, a miser, a stingy person? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, not good, but possible. Ayakun al-mu'minu kadhaban? Ya Rasulullah, can a mu'min be a liar? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam immediately said, no, never. If a Muslim is a liar, then he's not a true Muslim.
Allahu Akbar.
And then this is to show you that how lies impact upon your whole. So there is accommodation in the character and personality of a mu'min for weaknesses like cowardice and bukhl and stinginess, possible, but not for lies. Because lies impacts upon your whole character and your personality. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam therefore said, Iyakum wal kidh, fa innal kidh wa yahdi ilal fujur. Let's stay away from lying. Lying leads to other evil, and evil leads to Jahannam. So he doesn't say lying is bad in itself, but it also leads to other evil. When a person lies, then how many other lies must he speak to cover up that one lie?
Amazing. And it's an interesting point to make about the shares, Manana. And that's the real time when your piety is tested. A person is, alhamdulillah, excellent in terms of Quran, tilawa, ibadah, ma'amula. All his ma'amulat are in order, alhamdulillah. But when it comes to mu'amalat, when it comes to like the inheritance, especially the women side, Manana, and because of money matters, they suffer the most, and the mistrust comes in, and many times they are deprived of their shares, and then the brothers are taken, or the other way around. But because of money, the mistrust is coming about, Manana.
Yes, and of course, unfortunately, maybe not so much now, but previously, there was, I'm not sure maybe if I'm right in saying that, no, not so much now, but comparatively, there has been this aspect of an Indian type of mentality that women, when they take and they get married, they get their trousseau, then the father has given them whatever is due to them, and after the father dies, they don't inherit from the father. That is completely wrong from an Islamic perspective. وَلِذَكْرِ مِثْلُ حَزْرِ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has clearly made mention that for the female is a share from the parents' estate which is due upon them irrespective of what the father had given them in their life. So this particular aspect sometimes can lead to a great amount of tension and great amount of strained relationship because of lack of clarity and lack of honesty in relating the situation. From a Shari point of view, it must be very clear, very transparent. In fact, one of the major causes of problems in today's time is ambiguity in money matters that leads to tension in the family matters.
It's 9:35, we go for a commercial break. When we come back, inshallah, we'll continue. It is a social program with Maulana Ibrahim Bam, and we are discussing money matters today, which is the root cause of many problems in our homes, and it has also broken many family members, and it has also created the distinction between lots of people. So money should be a means to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shouldn't be the means of us going further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also further away from our fellow human beings. So that's the basic crux of what we have been discussing thus far. And we say because of money, mistrust comes, and all the other ailments which Mawlana will be discussing, Mawlana.
Yes, لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرَ. For men is a share, لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ, which their parents have left behind. And for women is a share, which their parents have left behind, مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ, whether it be significant or insignificant. And that is a reality that each and every child is that is why from the Shari point of view, it is not permissible in your will to give one child more than the other. It's not permissible. In your life, that also is not, it's not, I won't say it is not technically allowed. There has to be a basis with regard to it. You cannot give one child more than the other based on favoritism or because you like one child more than the other. Yes, it is permissible that, for example, you have three children, two are well settled, and they are quite well done, they are prosperous. The other one is struggling, maybe he's a Maulana. So you can maybe give him a little bit more because he's in a difficult situation.
Hmm.
But just on the basis of favoritism, it's not permissible, not right to give someone. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ أُولَادِكُمْ فِي اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ and be just amongst your children. So I think it's a very important point. The other point is, how do you deal with money matters? When, for example, you got a situation where you feel you are entitled to something and you bring it to the attention of the person who is an authority in the family, then do you pursue it after he does not heed your call? Do you take it up? Do you go to the courts? Well, what do you do? I think it's something that sometimes people do find that type of quandary.
Hmm.
As far as possible, what is your right? You are supposed to fight for it as far as possible. But to what extent do you really want to go to the court for a family matter, or do you bring it to the attention? You bring it to the attention of prominent people who have influence over the family to bring it to the attention of the one who has the authority. And then afterwards you leave it in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know. This is something that maybe listeners can give us the directions on.
Unless the share is a million rand, nobody would want to let it go, Marana. It's a reality. In the previous times, a lot of people inherited many pieces of land. And today, alhamdulillah, the prices have rocketed and they have plummeted to such an extent that even a fraction of that share will make you a millionaire, man.
Yes, definitely.
Here's a message coming through. It reads, Assalamu alaikum. Is there a time limit for inheritance to be paid out to siblings? The excuse is always there. The lawyers, SARS, and the master's offers, etc. The family says everything will be done by Sharia, but it leaves a sour taste in the mouth. 3 years and still waiting. Please explain how the payment should be done.
It should be done as soon as possible. Unfortunately, there are technicalities that have to be taken into account. And unfortunately, in today's time, the technicalities sometimes take more longer than required and necessary. And there is, unfortunately, from the legal point of view, masters, attorneys, transfers does take. But it's important. What is the intention? Is the intention to delay it for someone's benefit, or is the intention that, listen, it's beyond my control. I'm trying. I've done it. I've put it forward to the master. I've put it forward to the people to transfer whatever needs to be transferred. It's just taking time. So what is the motivation behind it? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said people's a'mal would be judged by the niyat. So what is a niyat? Is a niyat to delay it because of some benefit and some motive? Or is it because it's just beyond your control? And unfortunately today, I'm not saying in all cases, but in some cases it does take more longer than necessary.
The next one is a very interesting message. It reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Yes, I agree, money is the cause for many grievances. We are working in a family business and there is no records of what's happening, and there is no equality amongst us.
Maulana, so such an important point, because that is one of the things, and you are aware, and Maulana, I do remember that once you came to Newtown and you spoke on this matter with regard to clarity in monetary dealings. One of the common problems that normally happens in families is a family business. And obviously the father sets up the business, then the children come into the business. Now when the children come into the business, no one relates what's what.
Mm.
No one relates that, listen, what is the share, or what is the position of the child when he comes into the business? Is he going to be a shareholder? If he's going to be a shareholder, then maybe he needs to contribute something, or he needs to put something into the business to be able to become a shareholder. What is his share? How is the shares going to be distributed? How often are they going to be distributed? Are the profits going to be given as dividends, or are the profits going to be plowed back? Who makes the decision? How much must be plowed back? How much must be given as dividends? If the child is going to come in and he's not going to be a shareholder, is he going to get a salary? On what basis is he going to get a salary? Will there be perks because he's a child beyond what an employee earns? What will be the perks? What will be the bonuses? Would it be on a needs basis? Would it be on the prerogative of the father? See, there are so many issues that by and large are left in abeyance with disastrous results.
Yes, 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you could WhatsApp on the studio number 072-786-1548. That's 072-786-1548. Amala, we may continue with the discussion.
Yes, Mona, how do we go in with regard to that particular situation? Because that seems to be the root cause of many problems. That, you know, and that is why it is said from an Islamic perspective, and let me put this as easily as possible, we must have individual identity in a collective enterprise. We must have individual identity in a collective enterprise. So what is your individual position in the overall collective enterprise? You can't say that everyone is eating from the pot and let continue eating without relating or without clarifying matters. Because that is a recipe for disaster. If not now, one day it's going to come up, it's going to burst and it's going to erupt. So what is your position? Is your position a shareholder, not a shareholder? What is it? And I think that is something that people really need to look at very, very seriously.
Yes, and Malay, here's another message coming through, but I'll read it a little later. It's a lengthy one, inshallah. I just need to scan it before I read it out, and then we'll take it in the next few minutes. We can continue, Malay.
I wonder to what extent are in family businesses these things clarified. Sometimes but I wonder. There are situations I know of where things are very, very properly written down, very well recorded, very well logged. The people who are at the helm of affairs, the original people, you know, there is a book written by Yawar Beg, The Business of Family Business. And he, one of the reasons why he has written it, it's a very interesting concept. He said, family businesses in South Africa has been the cornerstone and has been the basis for the development of the community. He says, family businesses has been the basis for the development of the community. So the community has developed because of family business. It's a family business that has given money to Masajid. It's a family business that has given money to the community to grow and community infrastructure. So the family businesses need to be nurtured. It has to be protected. And many a times what actually happens in family business, the way he puts it, because we don't plan, we don't strategize, we don't see the value of the family business, is that the father works a lot to be able to establish it. The second generation comes and benefit from it, and the third generation blows it up. That normally into many a times happen in family businesses. So you have a situation of a three-tier civilization. The first civilization works to establish it, the second generation benefits from it, and the third generation blows it up because of unnecessary tension and dispute, because they have not understood. They have not understood the importance of clarity, transparency, and the importance of working together. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, Allah Ta'ala says, I'm a partner in a business between Muslim enterprise, between Muslim people. I'm a partner. I want partnership to happen. I become a partner when Muslims become partners in business. But the moment there is dishonesty, any one of the partners becomes dishonest, becomes more greedy. He doesn't look at the overall benefit. He wants to individually benefit at the cost of the greater good. Allah Ta'ala says, I withdraw my partnership. Whenever there is any dishonesty, I withdraw my partnership. I'm no more a partner. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَا هُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, many partners, they do one another down, except the one who has iman. He will not do the other one down.
Interesting indeed. So, Marla, who should be addressing these issues in the family?
Well, firstly, I think the parent. The parent needs to be very clear with regard to it. He must not leave anything untoward. He must not leave the business or the enterprise or whatever assets they have in such a way, in a haphazard way, that leaves it open to dispute after he passes away. He must be able to do it very, very well, must be able to clarify matters. And of course, we never know when we're going to drop dead. Therefore, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that do not allow even 2 days to go without having your will prepared, without having your will underneath your pillow. You must have your will and some aspect. You can change it from time to time. You have the right to change it. But they must have some will so that it does not lead to dispute.
This is on a lighter side, but I was telling you earlier on, there's a lengthy message. It reads, a man buried a dog in the Kabristan of the Muslims. So the people complain about this to the judge. The judge summoned him and inquired, why did you bury the dog in the Kabristan of the Muslims? The man said, the dog had requested to be buried in the Muslim Kabristan. Why do you mock me for that? So he asked the Qadi. So the Qadi said, no, I'm not mocking you. Then the man replied, the dog even bequeathed 1,000 dinars in your favor. So the Qadi said on second thoughts, yeah, he must be from the Ashabi Kahf progeny.
So I read it somewhere. This week I read it somewhere.
So he says money changes people.
Yes.
Mulana, the awkwardness, people are not willing to face that. The father doesn't want to be crude in these matters. He feels it's going to break the son's fear, the son's heart. And
people are starting to ask that type of question. Two daughters have no right to the family business because the son is running the business. Can the father leave all his assets to his son while he's alive because he feels that the son is his heir and he has told his daughters that everything is his son and after he dies nothing goes to the daughters? So, well, I don't know now. These are the type of questions that are coming through. A very clear answer, this depends on the situation with regard to it. Yes, a father can give people in his lifetime, but there must be a basis. If, for example, the father feels that the sons have helped me in the business and I want to give them a share because they have put up the business and they have progressed the business, then he can do so. I think it's a valid reason to give the sons. But if he has his share in the business, then the daughters will inherit from his share. No matter how much the sons have been putting into the business, the father's share will be jointly distributed amongst all his heirs, and the daughters are part and parcel of the heirs. So while if he has given his sons a share while he's alive, that share would not form part of the father's estate. But if the father has a share in the business, then definitely his share would be distributed amongst the daughters.
Mm-hmm. We've got a caller on line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullah.
Well, just something on a lighter note. You know, our late one, Qasim Ali, he once quoted, he said he was a very wealthy father. Now he passed away, so the son went in the cupboard and when they put a wood down on a cross, they have this hole that they close it up, with the mud.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody asked me, why are you taking so long? He said, no, I don't want my father to come out again.
Why? Ya Allah. That's cruel, man.
Here's a message coming to Mulana. Assalamu alaikum, Mulana. There's a radio on in the background. Okay. It reads, we have loved like brothers, but we deal like strangers. All must be in writing. We started in the name of family business. It then become business of one. We got nothing but promises.
Yeah, very, very famous. Some people have said a hadith, some have made mention of it as a wise statement. Ta'asharu kal akarib wa ta'amalu kal ajanib. That socially, when you deal with one another as if they are your family members. So even deal with your friends, the people in the masjid, well and so warm as if they are family members. But in terms of financial dealings, as far as financial matters are concerned, then even deal with people who are your family members as if they are strangers. As financial matters, deal even with your own family members like they are strangers. Write it down, do everything, and that's the situation that needs to be done.
There's also another saying, Marana, al-aqarib kal-aqarib. They become your own family become strangers towards the end, and they are the one that do you down. So then who do you go to afterwards?
Yeah.
So it's said that because of lack of clarity, we are unable to address our matters, and we are unable to live happily with each other. And as long as the father is there, the senior of the family is there is stability in the business. But the minute the father passes away, he becomes marhum, and then you see that there's this integration in the family. One son pulls out, then slowly the other one, and then the business is like basically going downhill.
Unfortunately, we have not been able to see the power of working together, and this is all because of pettiness. I mean, you look at some of the enterprises that have been done by people of other faiths, and other groups. They've prospered, and they've come together because they've been working together. Human resources is one of the most important things in today's time. Now, if human resources can be pulled together, you can imagine what can be done. Unfortunately, pettiness and greed takes over. And then afterwards, the entire big family, don't dispute. When you argue and dispute, Allah Ta'ala takes away your power and your strength. How many family empires there have been? They were empires, and all of a sudden they went down because, what was the reason? Because of fighting. Infighting takes away barakat. Infighting, if yadullahi ala al-jama'ah, fa innal barakata ma'al jama'ah, Allah's blessings is with a united lot. If you are going to be in a family business and you are united, Allah will put barakah. If you are going to fight, Allah Ta'ala will take away barakat. That's the reality.
It's true what you say, Munah. Even your buying power increases. Like if you are in a town and you've got five businessmen doing the same sort of work and doing the same line, then if five of them unite and buy jointly from the manufacturer, from the supplier, the prices will be quite significantly low.
Definitely.
And they can make better profits, and the consumer also benefits. It's a win-win situation. Like this, because they are disunited, the manufacturer is having the ball of his time because he is making enough money from each of them.
Yes.
So it's amazing how we can unify ourselves and also benefit from the business world out there. But like you say, Malana, it's because of petty issues we are fighting with one another.
And someone is also saying, what happens if a father leaves the will stating one child to live in his house and the heirs agreed out of respect for father? If the heirs have agreed for him to remain in that house out of respect for the father's wishes, yes, it's permissible. But normally it's not good to leave things in such situation. If the son has been living with the father, then some arrangement should be made to perhaps take that into account to reward him with regard to it. But if the father hasn't in his lifetime, then actually what happens, technically speaking, it goes into the estate. But if he has expressed his desire that he wants the son to live in and the other heirs agreed, then it will be a good thing on their behalf. And it will go to the son because the heirs have agreed to respect the father's wishes.
There's a message coming through. It reads that, therefore, the father must try and split the business in his lifetime for his children. It is a very wise move if he does that.
Yes, normally it can be, it will work. Sometimes there is such a business that it's easier to unbundle compared to some other businesses. But I mean, even in our community, I mean, there are situations and there are enterprises that are doing well with brothers in one another. I know of a situation in the family, beyond the family, very well-to-do and respectable businesses that have done well because the brothers have been able to reach an agreement and have been able to look at the broader issues. I mean, and those particular businesses, if you look at it, are flourishing because of the aspect of working together. So it's not always it has to be unbundled. It just, there is barakat in working together. But the unfortunate part, one of the reasons why it doesn't succeed is because of dishonesty and because of lack of transparency. Many times, the person who is in authority doesn't have the necessary wisdom to keep the family together. He's looking more at his own benefit. Sometimes what actually happens is then the wife and children play a role, and they then sometimes guide him towards that in which is in their own personal interest, not looking at the bigger and the broader interest.
It also boils down to the aspect of sharing, Manala, and Yaur Beg discusses is that when your children are small, you need to teach them the lesson of sharing. He said, if a child cries, we bring him another toy. So we make sure that we give each one a different toy or each one equally. He says, whereas we need to give them one toy and we need to teach them how to share that one toy so that when they grow up, they have learned this lesson in life that they can share anything and everything when it comes to money matters also, Manala.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
We've got about a minute left, Munah. Maybe we can take your concluding remarks and then you can...
Yes, I think there is no doubt whatsoever that sometimes we underestimate the importance with regard to, financial matters. Allah Ta'ala is very beautifully in the Quran with regard to the right balance in terms of how to deal with this material world. وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْأَخْرَةَ. Seek from what Allah has given you in terms of wealth, seek the akhirat. Don't only make wealth the means of enriching yourself and luxury and extravagance. Seek akhirat, seek Allah's pleasure through the means of the wealth Allah has given you. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your share in this world. So utilize it for your own benefit, the benefit of your children, the benefit of your family, nothing wrong with it. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. do good to others the way Allah has been good to you. If Allah has blessed you with wealth, then take that wealth and do good to others who might not have that amount of wealth, and you share it with them. وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and do not raise corruption in the earth with the wealth Allah has given you. Such a beautiful four stage and four very beautiful aspects of how to deal with your monetary matters. And of course, monetary matters, if not handled correctly, takes us away from Almighty Allah and takes us away from our family. We have the challenge to utilize our money matters in such a way that it brings us closer to Allah and brings us closer to our family members.
From this program, we've picked up that two issues are of utmost importance to our listeners. One is the family business, and number two is the inheritance issue. Perhaps we can provide some guidelines in the coming program, Marana.
Inshallah, we can do that, inshallah.
Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.